We're going through a sermon series this time entitled Identity, Who is Grace Community Church? And this fall, we're walking through our vision and our values as God has blessed us on the same page, and we are united in the same direction for God's glory. We looked at what our biblical bullseye is. We looked at what is it that guides us. And we started with part one of our vision statement, unpacking our vision statement. For those of you who are newer, last week we unpacked what's central in our vision and mission here at Grace Community Church. We're all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's all about the second part of the vision. We're unpacking what it means to know Christ, become like him. And make, for those of you growing up here in the United States, I don't know if you remember the commercials. Back in the 80s and 90s, Wheaties was really big. All right, any of you eat some Wheaties in the house here? Did you eat your Wheaties this morning? Are you strong? You ready to rock and roll? We'll see what we can do about that. So Wheaties was big in promoting athletes as models, and if you want, especially Michael Jordan was big in that time, and so if you want to be like Mike, you're going to eat your Wheaties so you can jump and dunk and be an athlete like Michael Jordan, right? Well, the secret is Wheaties will do none of that for you. Let's just be honest, all right? It might increase your iron levels, but beyond that, Wheaties is, you're going to be hungry at 10 o'clock in the morning, trust me. It's not going to help you out that much. But that was the idea. If you want to be like Mike, you're going to eat Wheaties, you know? And nowadays, we got Steph Curry up there, who's a rock star on the court there. Question for us today is, who do we want to grow up and be like? Who is our role model? Jesus, right? You're not going to find a lot of Wheaties boxes with Jesus on the front of it. But I can tell you, friends, that what he offers us in terms of power is far more satisfying. As a church, we are all about Jesus. And if we are all about Jesus, then that means that we will follow him, become like him, and mold. So join me in prayer for God's word. And I just ask, I'm feeling a little off this morning. So right now, Lord, asking for the filling of your spirit. Lord, we know that we can't come to your word to let it have its effect that you desire apart from your spirit to illuminate us, to shine light on it. But Lord God, more than that, to empower us to let it change us, God. You deserve to do that today, oh God. And I pray for your spirit to fill me to proclaim your word. Passages here that we're going to unpack this morning to get to the message that God has for us. The first is in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have a Bible or Bible app, you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4. Next passage that we'll actually get to here in the subsequent points is out of Hebrew waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and human cunning. And craft in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. Paul is instructing the church in Ephesus on who their identity is to be. It comes out of what Christ has done for us. Christ is himself. He explains the organization and the structure of the church. As you heard here, everything, the leadership, the equipping.
For us to mature to the stature and the fullness of Christ in verse 13. In verse 15, we're going to grow up into him who's the head, into Christ. The church that is all about Jesus will be a church that becomes like Jesus, that follows Jesus. Jesus himself gave us the command, follow me. Follow me. Jesus himself came to be the second Adam. Remember Adam at the beginning, God created to be in relationship with himself, representing all of humanity. But he fell away. Christ is the second Adam, as Paul tells us. The perfect Adam. He shows us what it's like to be human. Jesus is ultimately the true and full human being. And so as he came, not just to be a model, but he came to save us and liberate us, that we might experience what it means to be truly human in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. And so our focus, as we focus on Jesus, we must become like him. That means friends, this is a good reality. This is a great thing for us. That means that we will be moved to greater and greater degrees of freedom. You see, as humanity, we are riddled. We are a distorted form of God's creation, riddled with self-centeredness and selfishness. That we try to set ourselves above God and compete with God, to replace God in our lives. We seek to put ourselves over each other. Christ has come to show us and to empower us to experience what it means to be a human being, to be free, to move us from self-centeredness to love, to bring us out of our darkness into light, and to share in God's mission. Jesus told his disciples as he was preparing to leave in the book of John, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." To become like Jesus, to follow Jesus, is to be transformed, but it's also to share in his mission. You know, it's true, God loves us. Right where we're at, warts and all. But some of us, we've got a lot of warts on you, let me tell you. I got a lot of warts on me. And God meets us right where we're at. But he loves us way too much to leave us that way. If we have been made alive in Christ, there should be evidence, friends, that we are changing. We are growing. We are becoming something, someone new. Becoming like Jesus doesn't mean that we grow a beard and long hair and wear sandals. Obviously, I cannot do all three of those items. But Jesus longs to uniquely live himself out in each one of our lives through our personalities, through our gifting and wirings, that we would love God deeply and love others radically. Since choosing to follow, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, since coming into, since surrendering your life to Jesus, how have you noticed that you've been changed? Take a moment to reflect on that. How do you see your life being morphed and molded into that like Jesus Christ? Where do you see this transformational work happening in your life? We're going to keep moving here to Hebrews chapter 5 to unpack what does it look like for us to grow and become like Jesus? What does it look like for us to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14 says this: "About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles, the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." This passage here now in Hebrews that we move to, the author is addressing an audience of believers at this time who've come face to face with the reality that to follow Christ has consequences. It's got costs. And they were facing persecution, economically, physically, even as far as death. They were experiencing that there are real costs to follow Jesus Christ. They were believers who had been passionate, had been pursuing Christ, had been deeply devoted to knowing God through his word. But they began to shrink back. They retreated into pursuing comfort, preserving their comfort in this life. They began to regress, if you will, spiritually, because they were more concerned about preserving themselves and their comfort in the midst of the cost of following Jesus. And so Paul pauses from his teaching in Hebrews to address them and their spiritual growth in following Jesus. In verse 11, he talks about there's much to say about this particular topic. He's talking about, at this point, the priesthood of Jesus Christ, the deep theological truths, the realities of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and the implications it means for us, that what Christ accomplished and what he's doing for us now. But they're not ready for that deep truths. All they can handle is spiritual milk. So in Paul... describes here, there's several things that I want to unpack. First off, here is that becoming like Jesus involves holistic growth. Becoming like Jesus involves holistic growth. And next we're going to unpack and see how becoming like Jesus involves a process of growth. We're going to see here, as the author here addresses the people of God, their growth should affect their head, their heart, and their hands, all aspects of their lives. Let's see how it affects, this growth is expected to take place in our minds, in our belief systems. He talks about how they cannot handle these deep theological truths of the priesthood of God. He hits on this in verse 12. At this time, you should be teaching others, but now you need someone to teach you. You can't handle these truths. Spiritual milk isn't a problem. We need to know the basics of God's Word, the basics of who Christ is, who God is, and how to relate with Him. It begins with knowing God's Word. We need that in terms of our belief system. And that should grow. We should grow in terms of moving beyond the basics of God's love for us demonstrated in Christ to the deep truths of who God is and the character of Christ. We need to know the depth of atonement theology. What does that even mean? We need to be able to understand the priesthood of Jesus, the offices of Jesus that he fulfills, how he's king, priest, and prophet, functions in our lives. We should know the work of the Holy Spirit. We should know the character and attributes of God. We should be able to grow in leaning into this tension of God's sovereignty in this world, and yet our human responsibility. Not that we'll figure these mysteries out perfectly, but we should be growing deeper in our knowledge of God. The knowledge of God shouldn't be limited to our head, it should move to our hearts. In verse 12, the author addresses the heart issue where growth had been stagnant. Excuse me, verse 11. He says that there's much to say to them, but they had become dull of hearing. The word here in the Greek is this more of this essence of laziness and stubbornness. Lazy listeners or learners, they become hard of hearing. Because of their desire to preserve their own comfort and their own lives, they had calloused their hearts to the truths of God and wanting to grow, to delight in the Lord. Like Paul, who said, I consider everything that's good for me lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let me suffer like Jesus. Whatever it costs me, it doesn't matter. Just give me Jesus. You hear the difference in that heart. You see that the people of the book of Hebrews had hardened their hearts. Give me my comfort over Jesus. They lost their delight in the Lord. Our hearts should be inflamed and grow with love for God deeper and deeper to become like Jesus, whatever the cost may be. that growth isn't merely internal in terms of an attitude of the hearts or what we believe in our minds, but it should be lived out in behaviors and changed lives. He speaks to the people of God that they should have become teachers. Their actions should have changed, become others oriented. He's seeing the gospel spread in others. They had turned their hearts away from being sensitive to lost people and making disciples. Their actions have become self-focused. Furthermore, we see that Paul contrasts them, the spiritual infant versus the adult, in verse 14, speaking of how for the mature, their powers of discernment have been trained by constant practice. As we grow, our lifestyle should be characterized by greater degrees of training and discipline in our lives, of self-control. Our growth doesn't happen haphazardly, but there's spiritual sweat in us joining with Jesus Christ. There must be discipline in our lives. Discipline to meet with God, to be with Him, to delight in His presence, to meditate on His Word, to worship Him, to sacrifice for Him, requires discipline in our lives. So we have the head, heart, and hands. In our head, we should grow in our beliefs. Again, milk isn't bad if we're an infant. We need the basics of the truth, and we should grow into deeper truths of who God is and in His Word. Our heart and affections should grow in delighting in the Lord. And our hands, our behaviors and our lifestyle should change. There should be new habits forming. There should be new ways of relating in our lives. Are you sharing the forgiveness with others that Christ has shown you? Are you serving others radically? Are you making sacrifices to give up your comfort in order to elevate others in your life? Of your time, your talent, your treasure. There should be evidence of the gospel permeating all of our lives. As I consider what the Lord is doing in my own life, I have a long ways to go from. I'm not up here because I've arrived, because I desperately need Jesus. And I need to grow. I need to be changed and transformed in all of these areas. And I have to work at letting Christ have all the closets and rooms in my heart and my life. But it is good, friends, to look back and consider, how is the Lord changing you? How is He reaching into the domains of your life? How has He changed what you believe? How has He changed your heart and its affection? How has He changed your behavior and your lifestyle? I remember for myself growing up, I came to church. I was in God's Word only because my parents told me to be so. Right? Some of you kids may know that. I wouldn't be here if it weren't my mom for mommy and daddy, right? Maybe some of you adults are like, I'm still not here except for mommy and daddy. But seeing that desire and that delight in the heart go from it's something that's externally imposed to something, I want Jesus. I want to be here. I want to be with God's people. I want to worship Him. Not just on a Sunday. I want to worship Him every day. It's seeing that work in your heart. It's a beautiful thing to see God working in us and changing us. Seeing Him move me from the self-centered life of honestly, from stealing, from pornography, from self-destructiveness to being set free from sin. Being set free from these areas in my life. The Lord going deeper. That lust that was expressed in pornography, not just being addressed in outward behaviors, but being addressed in my heart now. And the Lord winning there and setting me free. How's the Lord transforming you in all areas of your life, head, heart, and hands?
We will not be a church that retreats into pursuing and preserving our comfort. Not like these Hebrews. They serve for us an example. By the grace of God and only by God's grace, we will not be that church that retreats into comfort. Amen.
Amen.
That we will pursue Jesus, becoming like Him. Friends, for a disclaimer, if you're checking Grace out, because of our pursuit of Jesus, just let you know, if you don't want to grow, you're going to be very uncomfortable here. Just as Jesus came to comfort the afflicted, He afflicted the comforted. And if we are faithful to God's word, that will happen here as well. Becoming like Jesus is holistic, but it also involves a process of growth. We see that here in this passage in the developmental language that the author uses. I keep saying Paul because many believe it's Paul, but we're not really sure, so that's why I try not to say Paul. That makes sense. Okay, great. Spiritual growth is a lifelong process. We see the developmental language here where he refers to them as children or infants compared to those who are mature and adults as followers of Jesus. This language of developmental language that is consistent throughout the New Testament that describes what discipleship should look like. That we are becoming like Jesus. There are stages of the development and growth as we become like Jesus that we should work through. That we should grow through. First, there's a stage of spiritual infancy and childhood that the author draws out here. What we see here is the stage of infancy, childhood, that they need milk. Now, we have several babies we're going to be celebrating this morning, all right? Can a baby feed itself, a newborn? No, a baby relies on others to feed it and determine what is good for it to eat. Or if we left a baby to itself, it would die. Or if it's old enough, it would find things to eat, but it wouldn't be the healthiest things for them to eat. An infant in Christ needs the community of believers around it to grow in the Word of God. It depends on others to feed them the basic truths of God from the Word. Spiritual infants need to be in community with other believers in the Word of God to help them discern God's truth. Now, the stages of development move on here. Implicitly, I would suggest, personally, this is from me, it's not explicitly stated here, but there's a stage of adolescence. In this stage of adolescence, we become like Christ by serving others, by serving God and others like Jesus. And this is a stage in spiritual adolescence where, as children and teenagers, we've hopefully learned how to feed ourselves, right? Kind of awkward to see a teenager who's being spoon-fed by their mommy and still needs his diapers changed. That'd be a little awkward, right? A little abnormal. Okay? Spiritual adolescents are able to feed themselves. They're regularly getting into the Word of God on their own. Okay? Now, these stages of growth aren't things that are separated from each other, but they build upon each other. We still need community. We don't grow out of our need for community and getting into God's Word in community with each other. The adolescent adds to that independence where they're feeding themselves, but they're now using their time and service to serve others. They're becoming outward-oriented. The infant is very self-oriented, much more self-oriented. The adolescent is looking to serve God and others. Well, this continues to grow as we see the spiritual parents develop. The mature are those, as the author here points out in verse 12, his expectation of these believers that they had been following Christ long enough, they should be teachers. Not just feeding themselves, but they should be in a place now where they're feeding others. This is a natural progression. This is an expected progression of our growth here as being followers of Jesus Christ. We should become spiritual parents, where we're teaching others. We are like Paul saying, follow me as I follow Jesus. Follow me as I follow Jesus. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. But I know where the truth lies, and I know our King, and I know our Savior. Let's do it together. Follow me as I follow him. This comes from that command from Jesus that many of us know quite well out of Matthew 28. Go, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. To be a disciple is to follow the command of Jesus to make disciples. We are all responsible for that. We are all to grow into that. That means sharing the gospel with lost people. To share in God's heartbeat. To see spiritually dead people become alive. And to see spiritual infants grow and mature. They themselves might become spiritual parents. We are disciples who make disciples. As I mentioned, the stages of growth here, of infancy and the need to be in the Word in community, of adolescence, to serve others, to serve God, to serve His kingdom, while feeding ourselves, and then to be feeding others. These are stages that build upon each other. We don't leave them. And so, an application, a way to consider this at Grace Community Church, is this. This is just a little thing, but to consider as you grow is worship plus three. Okay? Worship plus three. What that means is that we should be gathering together as a body of Christ like this. To love God. To spur each other on, to encourage each other in love for Him. To worship, living for Him and becoming like Him. Abiding in Him. We need to gather together as the Scriptures tell us to. In addition to that, we should be gathering together in smaller groups around God's Word. For this, we have small groups and life groups. But we need to be in God's Word, in community with each other. Are you in a small group of some kind or form? That doesn't necessarily need to be here at Grace Community Church. But are you in the Word, in community with others? In addition, we need to be serving God through our church with our time, talent, and treasure. We're the body of Christ. All the parts of the body need to function in order for the body to be healthy. In addition to gathering together for worship, we need to be in the Word and community. We need to be serving God and His kingdom through the body. And finally, the third item there is, are you discipling someone? Maybe you're a spiritual infant at this time in your walk with Christ, and that is okay. There's nothing wrong and nothing better about being an infant or an adolescent or a parent. There's nothing better about those. If that's where you're at, then maybe you need to find somebody to disciple you and to come alongside you. You might need somebody to follow to help you walk with Jesus and become like Him. Worship plus three here at Grace Community Church. Be in the Word and community to serve God and others and to disciple. We are to be disciples that make disciples. As I mentioned, being an infant is not an issue. It's not a problem. The problem that we face in the church today is spiritual retardation. That means the lack of spiritual growth. Something retards, it means it stops growing. It stops developing. We have arrested development. We suffer from this in a widespread way in the church today. We have more believers stuck as infants and children who are self-focused and self-dependent, dependent upon the church to grow, and they themselves are not seeing themselves as part of the body and participants in God's mission, as disciple makers. No, that's what the pastor does. That's what the leaders do. That's not for me. Doors of churches are closing at a rapid rate. 4,000 to 5,000 churches close their doors every year. There's an epidemic of a lack of spiritual growth. We as churches have failed in shepherding well by making and Christians dependent on ourselves as churches. And not challenging, not expecting us to all grow and to share in disciple making. This is the part of a responsibility for all of us in the body. The gospel will not advance. The kingdom will be stunted and stuck in stagnation, vulnerable to the enemy's attack. Young Christians will be easily deceived by false teachers because they're dependent on whoever sounds good and is convincing. They have not grown in the Word to be able to distinguish between good and evil. But friends, by God's grace, let that not be the case here at Grace Community Church. May we be a church that grows. May we be a church where disciples make disciples. Amen?
Amen.
So what's your next step? What's your next step? Where would you see yourself in the relationship with Christ? Again, there isn't any stage that is better than the other. Where are you? And what is that next step of growth? Are you in an infancy, spiritual infancy, a newer believer in Christ? Or maybe you're young in Christ, though there may be years in age. Spiritual maturity is different than chronological age. What's your next step in terms of growing? Becoming like Jesus. Do you need to step into a small group and grow with others in the Word? Do you need to be serving? Are you using your time, talent, treasure for God's kingdom? Have you been holding back from coming alongside someone else and saying, follow me as I follow Jesus? I don't have it together, but I know the one who does. Our vision, our mission here at Grace Community Church is to know Christ, to become like Him and make Him known. We're a church that's all about Jesus. And because we're all about Jesus, we will be disciples of Jesus and we will make disciples of Jesus. And by the grace of God, this community will be transformed. We will see more believers here than unbelievers, only by the grace of God. We will push back darkness, not because of anything we've done in ourselves, but because we've been faithful to letting Christ accomplish His work in us. Let's be that church, amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father God, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We ask that You would lead us. Lord, that we would not retreat into comfort. We would not retreat into self-preservation like the believers did in that time. And we are desperate for You, Lord Jesus, for Your Spirit to work in us, because we are prone, oh God, we've seen it. It's epidemic in our culture now, even today. Lord Jesus, we desire to be captivated by You, to passionately pursue You, Jesus, to see ourselves be brought to greater degrees of freedom and growth, but to see others changed and transformed as well. And You want to use us. Lord Jesus, we come to surrender at this time. Have Your way, oh God. Have Your way. We want to be Your disciples at all costs. Jesus, may we take hold of Your example, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning His shame. Jesus, whatever it costs, we pray, work it into our hearts. Whatever it costs, Lord Jesus, just give us You. May You have Your way in us. May we be your disciples. May we multiply your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.